A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, now our high priest has obtained so much more excellent a ministry, as he is mediator of a better covenant, enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, no place would have been sought for a second one. But he finds fault with them and says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will conclude a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they did not stand by my covenant, and I ignored them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will establish with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his fellow citizen and kin, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For all shall know me, from least to greatest. For I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sins no more." When he speaks of a new covenant, he declares the first one obsolete, and what has become obsolete and has grown old is close to disappearing. The word of the Lord. Kindness and truth shall meet. Show us, O Lord, your mercy, and grant us your salvation. Near indeed is the salvation to those who fear him, glory dwelling in our land. Kindness and truth shall meet. Justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and salvation along the way of his steps.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundo Marco.
Jesus went up the mountain and summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he named Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he named Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.
Verbum Domini.
Remember in our prayers today all those who are involved in the March for Life in Washington, D.C., all of our crew who's carrying out the coverage of that. We pray that the pro-life message may really permeate all of society, and that all hearts may be open to the gospel of life and may work to protect the most vulnerable, especially the unborn. In our reading today from the letter to the Hebrews, we hear a comparison of Christ's priesthood to that of the Levitical priests, and that his ministry is superior, it's more excellent, because he's the mediator of a better covenant, enacted on better promises, and he's a mediator. In other words, he's a go-between, he's an intercessor, as we heard in our reading yesterday, right? He lives forever to make intercession for us. He stands in the middle between two parties, right, seeking to unite man to God. You know, Moses was the mediator of the old covenant, and Christ is the mediator of the new and everlasting covenant. And again, this new covenant, it brings about a perfect union between God and man. And as we heard, this new covenant is enacted on better promises. The old covenant, remember, it promised material blessings, especially with regard to the land, the promised land in Canaan. But it didn't lead to salvation, because it didn't blot out sins, right? That was the obstacle between us and God, is our sins. And the old covenant did not blot out sins. The new covenant rests on spiritual promises and the offer of grace, the remission of sins and everlasting life in heaven. Again, the old covenant couldn't promise that. It didn't take away sins. So this new covenant that Christ Jesus came to establish is a new relationship between God and his people. And we thank God that we are part of this new and everlasting covenant. We're able to be partakers of these great promises from God through his grace. And we do partake of that at every Mass, right? The new and everlasting covenant, which our Lord shed his blood for. And in the gospel today, our Lord appoints his 12 apostles. And St. Mark begins today's gospel passage by saying that the Lord first went up the mountain. This calls to mind Moses going up Mount Sinai, where God gave him the law of the old covenant. And then Moses communicated that to the elders of the chosen people. So we heard Mark's account. St. Luke gives us the additional detail that the Lord spent the whole night in prayer previous to this, prior to this, before choosing the 12. And he was giving us an example and teaching us a very important lesson. And that is that we need to take counsel with God in humble prayer when undertaking any important or major decision in our life. And also the need to withdraw at times from the busyness and the loudness of the world, all the noise, to be still. So the Lord would say, come away by yourselves for a while and rest, to listen to the Lord. St. Mark also tells us today that the Lord summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. So we're reminded of what the Lord said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, when he said, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And when he appointed the 12 apostles, which is also the number, of course, of the tribes of Israel under the old covenant, he appointed them that they might be with him and then be sent forth to preach and have authority to drive out demons. So the order of this is very important. They must first be with him before being sent out. They needed to have that close union and relationship with Christ in order to have a fruitful and effective mission. And later on, after our Lord had ascended into heaven, St. Luke, he tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that, especially the leaders of the people, they were astonished at the boldness of the preaching of Peter and John. And St. Luke says specifically, they recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus, right? That they knew that they had been with the Lord. Wouldn't that be something if others knew that we spent time, we were with the Lord, especially in prayer? Our prayer life has an impact on every interaction we have with others. So again, similarly for us, the fruitfulness of our work or mission depends on our union with Christ, which we want to deepen each day. And we celebrate today the memorial of St. Francis de Sales, who's one of the doctors of the church. He was born in France in 1567, and he studied in Paris and in Padua, and he received doctorates in both civil and canon law before he was ordained to the priesthood. And he worked zealously and helped bring many converts into full communion with the Catholic Church from Calvinism. In several accounts I read, they estimate about 72,000 converts that he helped bring back into full communion. So he worked very zealously. And he also co-founded the Order of Visitation Nuns with St. Francis de Chantal. In addition, he wrote very effective books on the spiritual life, and probably the most well-known and famous is The Introduction to the Devout Life, which originally, it wasn't meant to be a book. Originally, this is a series of letters that he had written to one of his spiritual directees. And eventually, he rearranged it and addressed it to someone with the title Philothea, which means simply the lover of God, right? And that's all of us, right, that we love God, and so this is spiritual advice on counsel on how to grow in the spiritual life, to deepen our union with Christ. And in this book, he would just simply give spiritual advice for all who sought holiness. St. Francis de Sales truly believed, and he taught, that holiness is compatible. It's compatible with every state in life. And in his Introduction to the Devout Life, he gives some good reminders and advice regarding our prayer life. He wrote that prayer places our understanding in the brightness and light of God and exposes our will to the heat of heavenly love. And he recommended particularly that our mental prayer be focused on the life and passion of Christ. He is our model in all things. And St. Francis de Sales would teach that just as children learn to speak by hearing their parents talk, so we, by meditating often on the words, the actions, and affections of our Lord, and with the help of his grace, we will learn to speak and to act and to will like him. We want to spend time meditating upon the gospel. And something that St. Francis would recommend, and that's easy to forget or overlook, is to begin all of our prayers with a lively sense of the presence of God. And he shows us practically how to do this. First, he says we can be aware that there is no place in the world in which God is not. God is always present. And St. Francis de Sales says that even though we acknowledge this truth, few consider it with lively attention. And then he makes the point that although we know by faith that God is present, because we do not see him, we too often forget this, and we behave as if he were distant from us. And to help us to be more aware of God's presence, we can think of David's prayer from Psalm 139. And he says, if I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in Sheol, you are there too. Or we can think of the words of Jacob. Remember when he had that encounter with God, he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. And he said, truly the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Another thing that we can do is to think about God's presence within us. When we're in sanctifying grace, the Holy Trinity is dwelling within our souls. And St. Therese would comment on this too, that this is really a source of joy for us, right? That even if exteriorly we're going through many different various crises, if we're in sanctifying grace, God, who is perfectly content, he's perfectly joyful and happy, he is within us. And if we can't rejoice in our own selves, we can rejoice in him who is within us. There's always a cause for joy and peace and confidence in God. And a final consideration with regard to practicing the presence of God, St. Francis de Sales recommends that we look upon, or we think about our Lord gazing upon us from heaven. We can picture him looking upon us as we are praying. And not only that, to imagine him and to picture him gazing upon us in prayer, but especially when we come to the Lord in Eucharistic adoration, right? He is substantially present in the Holy Eucharist, gazing upon us with love as we turn to him in prayer. So we ask the prayers of St. Francis de Sales. We ask that he pray for each of us, that we grow in the spiritual life as he gives us many good counsels that we can pick up or refresh ourselves on with his great classic, The Introduction to Devout Life, that we might grow in this life of perfect charity, and again, that we might often be reminded of God's presence within us.